I was sitting in my office thinking about, the title of my message is the cost of great love. And I was thinking about something I purchased when I was a lot younger, my first car. I don't know, do any of you remember your first car? But I bought for my first car a used Pontiac Grand Am. And it cost me a lot. At the time, it cost me about $2,000. And it took a while for me to pay for it. And actually, I struggled to pay for it. Actually, someone even helped me to get it paid off. So it cost a lot to me at the time, and it was my car. I was no longer having to drive the minivan, which when you're a college student, I guess I was in college at the time, driving a minivan just with the wood paneling on the side wasn't a very wasn't something I was very thankful for that, but this was my car. It was a great car. Well, I should say it wasn't a great car though. It broke down a number of times. It left me stranded on the side of the road probably three or four times. Now, this is before kids had cell phones at the time. So I remember walking to different houses, asking to use their phone and calling collect to my parents to get help. Most of you kids are never going to understand what that is. I feel really old at the moment. But when I sold that car, I can't say that I missed it. I didn't miss the car. But my next car, that was a brand new Ford Taurus, and it drove great. I got a little grief because it still looked like a family car. But you know what? It was a safe, good car. I would say it was a great car. But you know, that great car cost me a whole lot more than that first car. Great things come at great costs. Not all things cost in the form of money. Living in a country that has individual rights and freedoms are great. Although looking at our government in the news right now, it might be a little depressing with all the division and fighting going on, but the cost of great freedom in the United States came at a great cost. Now, I know war is financially costly, but that's nothing compared to the cost of those who fought. But great freedom came at a great cost. Even more, the salvation we receive from Christ Jesus, it came at a huge cost, one that we could not pay ourselves. We couldn't pay for our salvation. We couldn't do anything for our salvation. But it was costly nonetheless. The unconditional love that we see from God our Father is the greatest love. Yet His love came at a cost to Him. Let's read our scripture this morning, and I'm going to read a good portion. I'll be reading 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. You can either follow along in your Bibles or read with me on the screen. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. We have seen a number of times how John merges a command with character. We have the command to love one another. We've seen that a number of times in this letter, and it's also in other scripture. To love one another is a command. But on the other hand, we are told that because of being born again, that is that spiritual rebirth when we give our lives over to Christ, we receive his character traits. We receive the character traits from God our Father. And at the end of verse 8, it tells us that God is love. We see it repeated again in verse 16. God is love. God doesn't just love, but he is love. But with John, he sees love as that command, but also the trait that we possess in Christ Jesus. See, love comes from the Father, and when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive him. We receive the love found in his character. The love of God is always and forever, and the love we are to show one another must be lasting as well. And to love can be costly. Have you ever loved only to be hurt? Have you loved only to receive rejection? You know, for those questions, we often think about the friend relationships or dating relationships. But that's really only one slice. There's marriages, there's parents and children, and even fellow Christian relationships can result in those things as well. But how about your love for God? Maybe you've loved God, and there was the one time where you earnestly prayed a prayer only to be disappointed when it wasn't answered the way you had hoped it would. Loving can be difficult. To love is not always the easy way. And what is the love that we are seeing from the Father? What is that love? It is not just any kind of love, but it is what we call agape love. Agape love is not that sappy sentimental feelings that we get for another. It is not the brotherly love for those that we care about. It is not a physical attraction that we see when two people fall in love. That is not what I'm talking about, because those types of love are based on feelings, based on emotions, based on an already established good relationship. Agape love stands above feelings. It's a love made by a choice. Agape love is best described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. And not only does he point to its importance, but he also helps us to see what it looks like. So look at 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 1, and I'm going to read 8 verses, just because that whole section of Scripture paints a picture for us to understand what agape love looks like. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Wow. What we see in 1 John helps us to see that agape love from God. And if we are in Him and He is in us, that character of agape love is to be in us as well. You know, we could be the most influential person in the world, but it means nothing if we do not have love. Because if that agape love is not in us, then we must be asking ourselves, is Christ in us? You see, God is love. And as I look at the descriptors of love, I know I struggle. When I look at all this written out, showing love with patience and kindness, not being rude or resentful, but forgiving, instead, those are not always easy. I struggle with them. Bearing and believing and hoping and enduring things in love. Wow. But God's love is perfect, and it never ends. This love is a love that only comes from God. You see, we often think that, you know, we think, I can love someone. And there is that word love can often reflect a variety of meanings. But without Christ or without God, I can love someone, but it's a human level of love. For Jesus, He even said to the people that even sinners can love those who love them back. Those that don't have Christ in them can do good. They can do good to those who do good back. But Christ calls us to love even those who do not love in return. Again, the love of God moves us to a love that is beyond our human comprehension, and it can be difficult. But great love comes with a great cost. We think about the cost, you know, for us as putting aside our feelings. Sometimes putting aside offenses and choosing to forgive. Those are part of the cost. But let's put it into perspective. What did agape love cost our Father in heaven? Though He is love, His love cost Him. Let's read those verses again, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God sent his one and only Son. I don't know the pain that would have been involved, but as a father and as I think about my children, as I think about what they mean to me, on a limited human level, it would tear me apart to see what God saw taking place with his Son. Yes, we know that only Jesus could be the atoning sacrifice, but think about this from a father's perspective. It was God's will that Jesus be crucified on the cross, that once and for all sacrifice for the people he created and loved. But a father seeing his son tortured and die in an unfathomable. And seeing the hearts of those that he came to die for filled with hatred. When he died on that cross, the people that he was dying for surrounding him were scoffing, making fun of him. Those Jewish leaders that decided that Jesus needed to die and they were there. Think about this. They were praising God with their words, but crucifying the Son with their actions. That agape love of our Heavenly Father was costly. I know that human side of me would almost be like, the people don't want my gift, my son. If they don't want him, then I'm going to take him back. But agape love is a choice. I choose to love. How about the cost of agape love to the Son? Jesus. Jesus showed agape love. He came to earth in the flesh. He put some of his godly attributes aside and became a man. A man who feels what we feel. Then at the end of his ministry, he prayed before being betrayed. In that prayer, we see that he struggled with going to the cross. He asked that this cup be taken, but not his will be done, but the Father's will be done. As Jesus was dying the cruelest of deaths imaginable, he prays for those responsible for his crucifixion. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. The biggest offense of all. And Jesus asks that they be forgiven. Jesus showed agape love while here, and it cost him. His love for us is very real. And the love of God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, is a gift. That love is a gift. There's nothing that we could do to earn their love. He loved us while we were sinners. We cannot earn his love, just like we cannot earn salvation. They are gifts from the Father for each of us. Like Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A gift is not something worked for. A gift is not something earned. It is simply received. Just like God's love and the salvation through Christ. They are to be received. Because nothing you could ever do or say would be enough to earn them. And we have God the Father and God the Son. They show their agape love to us. And we have the Holy Spirit who speaks agape love with the Father and the Son and also relays that to us. The Holy Spirit who resides in us, who guides us and shows us agape love. To know this love is to know God, and it is amazing how everything is so intertwined, interconnected. And that deep connection is how John sees God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as they each are agape love. To have the Trinity is to have love, and to truly have this love is to know God. Though it is commanded to love each other with agape love, it should also be flowing from us because we know God and we have Him in us. But John knows the reality of this world. And he also knows the reality of the free will that we can exercise. It's easy to be angry. It's easy to hold grudges. It's easy to hold on to bitterness. It's easy to show apathy. There's no emotion, no love. The world around us shows us the way of sin, but the expectation as we follow Christ is to show love to others. Most definitely showing love when it's difficult. You see, agape love comes at a cost. Will you choose? Will you choose agape love? Will you show it? Will you live it? And I think, you know, I've got Christ in me. Can I really choose? Can I really choose not to show love if I have Christ? It seems that John knows all too well that we are faced with choices. Though the Holy Spirit may be tugging us at one direction, our imperfect nature wants to pull us to the other. Will we rise above and seek to love others even when it costs us our pride? Will we choose to love even when it costs us our comfort? Will we choose love when it costs us? Will you rise above and make the effort in showing Christ's love even when it might be the most difficult thing you have to do? Like forgiving someone you said you never would. Like seeking forgiveness for a wrong you committed but have justified in your heart. But remember, what it costs you and what it costs me is nothing compared to the cost our Heavenly Father and Savior Jesus Christ, what it costs them. And I've said that great love comes at a cost. But let's look at it from a different perspective. What is the cost to not love? John points us in the direction that to not love is not allowing the Lord and the Holy Spirit to work in your life. To not love is rejecting the love that we have received from the Father, and it's moving us in the wrong direction. We are to draw near to Christ, and we're told that He will draw near to you in James. But what if we choose to withdraw? John has made some very powerful statements, and that if there is no love in you, then there is no God in you. Wow. If Christ is not in you, then there's no salvation either. Now, we make mistakes. All of us do. I've already told you, I've struggled with showing agape love. I have my weak points. And when we make mistakes, when I make mistakes, we move to the seeking forgiveness. None of us are perfect, but we need to keep moving toward Christ-likeness. But let it be known that if you do not have love for others, then I would suggest being on your knees before the Lord. If you know that this is a significant issue in your life, something needs to change. Because here's the hardest bit of truth that I'm ending on today. To reject agape love is to reject God. To reject agape love is to reject God Himself. Because He is love. How many times did John tell us that God is love?